Hello, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I would like to talk to you a little bit about women's ministries, especially some of the opportunities and the challenges that you will face in your ministry. First of all, there's some unique opportunities, I think, for women's ministry. Many women want to do ministry and may have some free time. And I think it's not because women in general have free time. I think it's because many women make time and they want to do some kind of ministry. Many women want to do ministry and they can be very empathetic. My wife cares for people. She has an innate ability to see when people are struggling. She rejoices when people rejoice. She has tears when they're in tears. And a lot of women have those gifts and they're needed in the church. Many women want to do ministry and they tend to be multitaskers. Again, my wife can do many things at one time. I'm like a one thing guy. I do one thing at a time and then I do a series of things. But there's a lot of things going on in the church. There are a lot of needs and a lot of women can respond to all these different needs. Many women want to do ministry and often have communication skills. In general, women use more words than men. They have more practice at using these words. They're very good at it. And so many women gravitate towards ministry. Many women want to do ministry and can be very connected to a whole community of support. I remember when I first got into ministry, people with needs would come my way and I'd spend time with them and I could tell that they needed that time. But if I saw someone just once a week, it was enough for the day, but not enough for the whole week. And I always wished I could connect them with other people. They need to talk to somebody every single day. And a lot of women are connected to a lot of different people and can bring in all these different people to help with the ministry. Many women want to do ministry and love the word, and they love sharing it. My wife, the first thing she does every single morning is she gets out her Bible, she gets out her journal, she starts writing things down. In our church, we have a whole group of ladies that are spending every day. They not only journal, they not only read their Bibles, but they're doing drawings and making pictures in their Bibles. I forget what it's called. But they love the Word. They love being in the Word, and they love sharing the Word with others. Many women want to do ministry and are often prayer warriors, keeping lists, praying for people, calling people, writing people, texting people, letting them know that they're in their prayers. Many women want to do ministry and tend to be encouragers, lifting people up, wanting people to do well. I don't know if this is from child rearing or taking care of children, and with children you have to be an encourager. You have to show children the way, and somehow it's in their nature to do this or what. But I know in my own church it's often the women that are encouraging and saying good things and pushing people forward. Many women want to do ministry and want to reach women, many of whom only will be reached through women. So there's people out there in our community, they don't know the Lord, they need the Lord, and the only ones that are going to reach them are women. And maybe you're in a church that has a man staff, and the truth is that these men perhaps will never reach those people. And so we need women in ministry as well to reach them. Many women want to do ministry and can offer something unique in a family crisis situation. I've often been involved with families in a severe counseling situation, and as a male, I'm just not getting through to one of the family members. And it's nice to have a female who might be able to reach that particular person. It's all about feeling comfortable, and who do you feel comfortable with? Many women want to do ministry and often bring additional feminine gifts to the ministry table. God created human beings in two kinds, male and female. In Genesis, it says God made man in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So somehow, as male and female together, we reflect the image of God. And so there's something unique about each one. And so we certainly need that part, the feminine part, in ministry. Okay, so there's all kinds of advantages, all kinds of opportunities. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But what I want to share now is some unique challenges to women's ministries. There's all these opportunities. It's a great thing. But I think there's some unique challenges that as you go into women's ministry, or maybe you're in the middle of it, it's good to be aware of these things. Number one. Sometimes women's ministry becomes a competing little church within the church. And this is true about any ministry. It can be true about the youth group. Youth groups can get so big and, you know, full-time staff, and they can have worship services, and they start looking like a little church. And well, you might say, well, so what? Well, what's happened, if you just study the whole youth thing, we've poured more money into the youth thing over the last 30, 40 years than at any other time in church history. And yet youth aren't always joining the church at the end of it. And they're not joining the church because they've been in their own little church that has catered totally to them. And then when they grow up and they get married, all of a sudden they're supposed to join the general church that doesn't necessarily cater to every single need that you have, the general church that has all kinds of needs and different people groups and has to do something with all of them. And then, you know, the youth are like, well, hold it. You know, what happened to the special group that was just for me? And that can happen with the women's ministry too. There's a lot of women interested in this. They're willing to put in the time. They're willing to put in the money. The women's group is going on a retreat, or they're going to a convention, and there's fundraising. There's their own curriculum often. They're studying their own thing. Maybe the sermon series is going one direction. The small groups are going another direction. Men's groups are going another direction. And then the women's group has its own curriculum. It's doing its own thing, its own leadership. Eventually, you start having to have your own nursery because some of the women have little children. And even the children's program. And little by little by little, it's like the women's group becomes its own little church. Now, in some ways, it's like, well, okay. But, you know, I planted a church back in the late 80s, and I went out and I reached people and I brought them into what we called a church. I did all that. But then the women's ministry comes in and just sort of carves out people out of my own church. I mean, I think if a woman's minister wanted to go out and build a church, a women's ministry church, and had to go recruit everybody, okay. But the women's ministry thing is taking place within her church already. So we'll talk about what we can do about that in a little bit. Number two, unique challenge. Sometimes women's ministry leaves the husbands behind. First of all, those outside the church. I remember when I planted this church, this was the early 90s, we had women's ministries coming out of the ears. I mean, we had two different groups meeting during the week. We had something called Coffee Break. We had something called Mom's Morning Out. And a lot of the women went to both of them. It was like they couldn't get enough of it. And I watched in our own denomination, I watched these programs, I watched at my own church, and I noticed that over the years, what happened was that the women's ministry did an incredible job of working with the women in the church, but not only the women of the church, the women of the church had friends that didn't go to church, and they brought them in too. So it was a wonderful outreach thing. And these women from outside the church were coming. But what I noticed over the years is that the husbands of these women didn't come. And when we tried to do other things that would try to get them in, like we would start like a small group thing, and then we'd say to the women at the coffee break, look, bring your husbands to this coffee break thing. It's sort of a husband and wife thing. They sort of resisted, or even when they did, they would come to the small group and maybe the husbands from outside would come as well. But the husband could tell that this was not the number one group for the women. The number one group was the women's ministry thing, and that's where they gave their energy and their time and enthusiasm. And so it never really caught on. And these husbands outside were sort of being left behind. They didn't know about the Bible, and the women were growing and getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and the women's ministry group was becoming more and more and more and more important, and the husband had nowhere to catch up. There was nothing that he could belong to, and yes, I suppose he could go to the men's group, but he didn't have a connection to that. His connection was with his wife. And so I saw that it was difficult to reach the husbands. That's outside the church. I also saw that there were some struggles inside the church. The women were like, you know, this was their thing. This is where they were growing. This is where they were being spiritually fed. And it was with the women. And then the husband is like, you know, he was content to just sit back and let his wife grow deeper and deeper into the Word. And he sort of sat on the sidelines. So sometimes women's ministry leaves those husbands behind, and so we'll look at what we can do about that. There's a book, by the way, and we have sort of the synopsis of that attached to this course, so you can read through that. But there was a book written entitled Why Men Hate Church. If you're in women's ministry, you have to read this little synopsis. It talks about how it's interesting that even though church has been run by men for the last 2,000 years, it's really still quite feminine. And the kind of men that have been running it are, you know, people like me that like to read books and we like art and we like music. The average man is not that into art and music. You know, the book talks about how the songs that we sing at church and some of them are so intimate and our love for God almost like, you know, like a romance song. And a lot of guys come to church and, you know, they're mechanics and they want to do stuff. They want to build stuff. They want to break stuff down. And church is, you know, all about feelings and communicating and listening and sharing. And these are all things that women in general do really, really, really well, and the men struggle. And so men are like, you know, I'll just let the women, you know, take care of this part. It's like, you know, the bedroom. You want to decorate it with flowers and all of that, fine. I'll just go to my garage, and, you know, and that's my little domain. And so a lot of men have sort of checked out of church. Maybe they go, but they're not in there like a dirty shirt. And so sometimes the women's ministry sort of accentuates that, where the women, you know, make all these things happen, and then the men just go farther and farther into the background. Number three, sometimes women's ministry leaders, with all their passion and capabilities, and women are very capable, sometimes They do too much, robbing ordinary members of their opportunity to step forward and take on responsibility for getting things done. I've looked at the church all over the world, and the churches all over the world are largely women and children. And there's a few men, and generally if the man has nothing to do, he's not there. And because the women are so capable, you know, they make the Sunday school happen, the kids programs. A lot of times it's the woman at home that makes sure that the Bible is read at night with the kids and that the kids' prayers are done. And a lot of men in the whole spiritual realm, they're supposed to be leaders. They're supposed to be the ones taking charge. But in reality, a lot of men are just sitting back. And because they're sitting back and the woman sees that there's a need and she's capable and she steps forward and she does it. So that's a challenge in women's ministry. Women are so capable, they can get so many things done, but then the men step back. So how do we answer that challenge? So I want to talk about what we can do with these three unique challenges. So how do we succeed in these challenges? As a women's ministry director, if that's what your goal is, how might you succeed in these challenges? So the first challenge, the little competing church challenge. What can you do? First of all, take the authority structure of the church seriously. Don't just go off and build your own church and do your own thing. There is an authority structure, whatever it might be, elders, deacons, pastor, people that are in charge of things. Don't ignore that. Do not plan in isolation. Make plans in consultation with all the areas of the church. Remember, we had a group of ladies, they wanted to do a women's retreat, and they planned, and they made it happen, and it was successful. And then they just, you know, they started planning for the next year, and the next year, and they had all the, and they just did it totally on their own, no consultation. You know, before that, we were doing a men's retreat 1 year, and then the ladies' retreat the next year because of babysitting issues and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, the women got so excited about their thing, they were just going to do their thing. And then, you know, the leadership, we had to come and say, okay, and maybe this is a good thing, but how does this relate to the other programs of the church? If we do all of this here, are we going to be ignoring something over here? Define your women's ministry goals in terms of the church's goals, not just your own goals. It's not women's ministry church. It's women's ministry as a part of your whole church. The whole church has goals. What are we trying to do as a church? Are we a walk with God kind of church? What's our mission? And how does the women's ministry fit into the whole thing that we're trying to do with our families and our marriages and our outreach? And finally, just care about the whole church. It's one of my pet peeves with any leader that I have that's in charge of anything. One of the things I constantly am saying to any leader of anything, look, you're leading the thing that you're leading, and that thing is really important, but that thing is part of the whole. Care about the whole church and every part of it. Number two, how to succeed in the challenge of the husbands being left behind inside and outside the church. First of all, define women's ministry goals and strategies in terms of reaching the whole family. Your ministry is to the women. Maybe it's the women of your church. Maybe it's the women outside the church. Yes, that is your focus. But don't have it so narrow that you don't see the broader goal is to have marriages hang there together. We're trying to help the women, but the women, if they're married, you know, have a husband situation. There's a marriage thing. So what can your program do in terms of marriage? What can your program do in terms of the family? The family ultimately has to succeed. Do not exclude men from women's ministry. Make them a part of your plans. Don't just, you know, women's retreat, women's Bible studies, women's this, women's outing out, women's fun time. You know, why not plan something that involves the husbands too, or the whole family? If there's a men's ministry in your church, meet and plan together. One thing affects the other. How can we do things better to reach everybody? Find ways to honor the husbands of strong women's ministry leaders and get them doing things. Now, this is an interesting one. It's totally unfair, but the issue that you have in women's ministry is the effect that it has on men. And I know that seems unfair, but if you're a woman's minister, that means you have gifts, you have leadership, you're out there making things happen, but all the men are going to be looking at your husband. And if your husband is sort of shrinking into the background because you're such a strong leader and you make things happen, and he just sort of goes, okay, well, this is your thing and I'm stepping back, all the other husbands are watching that. They're going, okay, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to let my wife do all the stuff, and I'm just going to sit back. So in some ways it's unfair, but on the other hand, how can you help your husband do things and step up and actually be a leader too? And that's a question that all women's ministry leaders, in the back of your mind, how can you do things in such a way that honors men and gives them a place to do and challenges them to take a leadership role that they should be taking? And finally, number three, what do we do with the doing too much challenge? First of all, do not do what others could do. I mean, this is just a general leadership principle. If you're a leader, there's all this stuff that has to be done. Maybe there's a flyer that has to be made. Maybe there's decorations that have to be put up for some retreat that you're going to do. And you're capable. And you could do it. But instead of doing it, find someone else to do it. If someone else can do the thing, as a leader, don't do it, because you're robbing someone of their connection. Do what gets others doing. That's what a leader does. If you do all the things, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so many things that you can do. But if you create a stage upon which many people can do things, with just, you know, saying something like, let's have a retreat, this is what the retreat's going to be about, all of a sudden you could motivate 10 people to start working on all these different parts of the retreat. Remember, all leadership is not about you doing things. All leadership is about trying to get other people to do it. So these are some of the challenges that we have for you in women's ministry. We have all kinds of materials that we're going to be working on. You can go to our Bible study tools section at CLI and look at some of those things that will help you. We're trying to develop different products and different walk with God kinds of materials that you can use that will help you become the best leader that God has in mind.